and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A fragile ceasefire is over in Gaza. Chaos at a hospital in Khan Yunis after Israel launched a surprise attack overnight, hitting Hamas targets in its heaviest assault since fighting paused 2 months ago. Prime Minister Netanyahu says he acted because ceasefire talks were going nowhere. The BBC's Yolande Nell reports from Jerusalem.
This is Israel saying that it's carrying out preemptive strikes against Hamas to stop it from rearming and from regrouping. We had Israeli officials coming out saying that this was open-ended. It was expected to expand this Israeli military operation. And that the idea is that from now on, the Israeli Prime Minister's office said Israel will act against Hamas with increasing military strength.
NASA's two stuck astronauts are finally on their way back to Earth.
Freedom is free of its moorings. Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore begin their belated trip home.
This morning, a SpaceX capsule undocked from the International Space Station 9 months after what was supposed to be a week-long test flight. Splashdown's expected off Florida later today. President Trump and Vladimir Putin scheduled to talk by phone today about winding down the war in Ukraine. Stephen Pfeiffer at Stanford University Center for International Security.
I worry that in his conversation later today with the president, Putin is going to try to impose quite a few conditions, and those conditions may go far beyond what Secretary Rubio talked to the Ukrainians about last week.
A federal judge has given the Trump administration until noon today to explain why he disobeyed an order and allowed two planes carrying alleged Venezuelan gang members to continue on to El Salvador Saturday. A third flight took off later the same day, with the president citing the Alien Enemies Act. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
It's not very clear that the president can use this law dating back from 1798 to say that he has the power to deport certain people who are in this country.
A certified midwife arrested in Texas. KHOU-TV's Amanda Henderson.
At the center of it all is the state's 2022 law, which prohibits most abortions. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announced the arrest of 49-year-old Maria Rojas. She's accused of performing abortions and illegally operating three clinics in northwest Houston.
Texas wants to ban students from acting like animals, barking, wearing leashes, using litter boxes in school. Governor Abbott's introduced the Forbidden Unlawful Representation of Role-Playing in Education, or Furries, Act. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
More troubles for the Brewers' pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch. And then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite some well-reviewed films, it was a pretty lackluster weekend at the box office. The weekend proved to be the lowest grossing theater totals of the year so far, with prognosticators surprised that a spring break weekend at the box office came in even lower than Super Bowl weekend by about $1 million. Novocaine led the way with a little more than $8 million at the gate. The film stars Jack Quaid as a man who does not feel pain while trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend. Last week's champ, Mickey 17, finished in second place with $7.5 million and $33 million for the two-week total. Steven Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Black Bag, finished with $7.5 million, but on about 1,100 less screens than Mickey 17. Rounding out the top five are Captain America, Brave New World, which pulled in over $5 million, and The Day the Earth Blew Up, the first Looney Tunes movie ever made for a theatrical release, with a disappointing just over $3 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are tracking a storm system that will bring rain tonight, tomorrow, with rain changing to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of snow with heavier amounts to the northwest. We'll keep an eye on that. Today, mostly cloudy. We'll get to around 55 for a high this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this Monday night. What better way to spend a Monday night than to call the entire family in around the radio and have a discussion about beer and aliens and Gene Hackman? Where else can you find that on a radio program in this day and age? Conrad, a little help? You can't, right?
I'm lost. I don't know.
Okay. Very exciting. We have Dave Hansen will be here at 7:35. He's the brewmaster at Flick's Brewhouse in Madison. And Dave reached out about a month ago and suggested creating a Nightlight-inspired beer, which is very exciting. So that will be ready in probably a couple weeks. We'll talk to Dave about that at 7:35. Todd Michaels is here. A new look Todd Michaels is here. With
Well, I had a friend reach out and said that I look like Dave Hansen now.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. It was Matt Harper on Facebook.
No, somebody else actually said that too. So maybe I'm doing it in honor of Mr. Hansen.
Of the new Nightlight beer, I think, more appropriately, right? Our question.
The balding brew. There you go. I mean, you're just going to have to shave your head, Pete. That's what you're going to have to do.
Listen, if there's a way for me to make money somehow at this, I will shave my entire body, which is important in radio. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our question of the night is, does Gene Hackman... He did not leave his kids any of his $80 million fortune. Not judging, but I, on my initial glance at this, after he admitted to being an absentee father as an actor where he would leave home for months at a time, not leaving his kids any of his $80 million, as it turns out, they will get it because of how he died in proximity, the timeline with his wife's death. There were no secondary beneficiaries, so they're going to get the money anyway. But does Gene Hackman not leaving anything to his kids in his will change your opinion of the legendary actor? That is tonight's question of the night. Text us, app us, stream us, whatever. We would love to know what you think, and I will read it on the radio. Todd Michaels is here. He's the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here at WGBW and WISS every morning. You can hear those guys. So much fun and a great way to start your day. He's also a paranormal investigator. We're talking about a new documentary that came out insisting that aliens live among us and do exist. But we have our doubts, but we're discussing it, and we're talking aliens. Todd, we have a texter, AJ, from the 608, who kind of touched on something we said before. AJ says, hey, Pete and Todd, what is your take on interdimensional beings? Because I thought that's what I believe the Sasquatch to be, very intelligent, but have powers we don't have enough information on.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we did touch on. Yeah. And in my belief system or my mindset is, since we can't seem to grab hold of this Sasquatch thing, even though we've got a little bit of evidence or stories and all that kind of stuff, maybe that's what's going on. Maybe this thing is coming and going from some wormhole or portal or something like that that we just don't quite understand. But when you talk about that, then you talk about skinwalkers, and then you talk about aliens, I just think there's a ton of stuff that we just know nothing about.
Right. What's a skinwalker?
Well, that goes back to Native American beliefs and things like that. I just was on a podcast this weekend that talked a little bit about skinwalkers. Kind of freaky stuff, but they are beings or entities that can kind of change shape and become things. And yeah.
Wow. Hey, yeah. Do you want to drop what the podcast was or tell people where they can follow you and your paranormal investigating?
Yeah, you can do a couple of things. If you look on Prime, I think it's still on Prime. There may have been some sort of disagreement on funding it or something like that, but you can find Haunted State on Prime Video. And the podcast is the Sandy and Todd Cast. One of my friends, Sandy, and I talk about ghosts and other weird stuff every week, every other week, something like that. The Sandy and Todd Cast.
I love that. And I saw that episode. Well, I saw one of the episodes. I think I actually saw two, but we talked about your Door County investigating. Really fun show, and it was really fun to see you on TV as opposed to just hearing your golden pipes on radio. But I think, okay, here's my issue. I feel like water, I feel like if there was something on land, we would have by now seen it. I feel like we're in an age of conspiracies where we want to believe something. Like, life is reality TV right now. And I'm kind of with you. I think something could exist, but where is the proof? Like, I just haven't seen any. And it seems like people want to will this stuff to be true.
And it's also difficult because every once in a while, you'll see a brief clip of something that somebody caught on their closed circuit television cameras or their Ring camera or whatever.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is it's not 1939 anymore, and it's not the Wizard of Oz, meaning that with just a little bit of talent and all the technology that's out there, you can fake this stuff very easily for video. So it's tough to determine what's real and what's not real. And again, so far, I've not seen anything that that makes me believe. Here's the thing. If there are dead alien bodies or something, Roswell, for instance, if there was an alien body that was found and they were researching this thing, where did it go? Where is it? Why didn't we see it at least by now, all these years later?
And that's what I was going to ask you about. What supposedly happened at Roswell? I remember watching something probably 40, 30 years ago on this, but what happened there? Why do people think something happened at Roswell?
Well, there's some debris and stuff that came down. The government said, hey, this was just a weather balloon that people saw come out of the sky. It was not alien related, blah, 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 blah. That was the United States government that said that. The problem with the timeline on this is right around that time when this news came out, there were people who were trying to scam people into believing that they found pieces of UFOs that turned into be like old pieces of jukeboxes and stuff like that from record players and all that kind of stuff. So there was this string of people that were doing hoaxes. And so that kind of muddied the water on the real research on this and the information that came out on this. Do you remember the Brady Bunch episode where Greg gets his room up in the attic of the house? And so he's up there with a whistle and a flashlight, and Bobby and Peter are down on the ground and they see this UFO. And it's just basically Greg and Marcia up in the attic playing a prank on the two of them.
I mean,
that's a lot of that kind of stuff was going on back in the late 40s and into the 50s, where people were making this stuff up. And then it kind of washes away. And this happens today with paranormal research, with some of the TV shows that take ghost hunting over the top. And every time they're out hunting, they're getting possessed and all this kind of stuff. It takes away any credibility that may actually be there from an investigation like Roswell.
That's really interesting. Amanda on the text line or on the stream says AI is ruining the ability to find what's real. Is that true? Do you know what she means by that?
Absolutely. Basically, what I was just saying is with any kind of talent, even a little bit, you can find an AI generator online right now and say, here's a picture of Peachwaba. Make Peachwaba a flesh eating nightmare.
Sweet.
And it will take your life. And I mean, not far to imagine this, but it will take your light and likeness, Pete, and it will create that. And it takes everything that is in our nightmare dreams and it brings it to reality. And like Amanda's saying, it's tough to determine what is AI and what's not. You've probably seen it too with political people where they fake a speech and they say whatever they want these people to say. I'm talking about Donald Trump or Joe Biden, all that kind of stuff. They're having conversations that never really happened.
Right.
And so while we're doing all this, we're muddying the waters of determining what is real and what's not. And it's not just aliens, but it's our political climate. It's what's going on in other parts of our own planet. It's really tough to determine what's real and what's being made up.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It really is. Todd, that was great. I want to ask you, I sent you an article earlier. Have you heard this? This is in northern Wisconsin, a faceless snowmobile ghost on an old rickety Arctic cat up near Minocqua. And what do you think? That's creepy. It's almost like headless horseman territory. Like when I read that, it was a great read. Have you heard anything about this or is it worth investigating?
I have not heard of this story, but I read through it. And quite honestly, I giggled a little bit through it only because I've done a lot of investigating of what I would call folklore kind of stuff. And I've never come across something that was somewhat folklore-ish that ever turned out to be anything real. But apparently somebody up there not only saw this ghost snowmobilist, but actually had the snowmobilist ahead of him,
right,
behind him on the side, not being able to see his face and all that kind of stuff. It again, show me something real, get me a picture, find me something, get an autograph by the ghost or something. It's hard for me to believe that, that it's true. The other thing with a lot of these claims, not necessarily this one, but we've talked before about something called the Paulding Light, which is up in upper Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this light anomaly that comes in the middle of the woods and all that kind of stuff. There's another one on the East Coast called Somerville Lights or something like that. Very similar situation. They figured out it's not cars in the direct eyesight of the person seeing them, but it's a refraction of the light from cars in another location that makes it look like they're there. Again, scientific proof showing that this is what's really going on there. The motorcycle one is just kind of a fun little story. And there's a guy that I know that loves winter. His name is Kerry Longry, and he loves below zero temperatures and he loves all the snow. So I think maybe it's just part of his spirit up in northern Wisconsin doing this around Minocqua, I think is where this story took place.
I thought it was cool because it was an ex-Marine, I guess, that was trying to catch this ghost with no face and couldn't catch, like he kept speeding up and the ghost, it just had really creepy elements to it. And sometimes I read those and I'm like, man, that would be really cool if that was true. Unless it was me chasing that
ghost. I'm thinking it's pretty close to the border up there. So maybe a little something's going on before taking the sled out.
Todd, I was going to let you go, but we have a phone call. Can you hang just through a very quick break? We'll take a call, and then I want to recommend something I think you might like to watch along these lines. So we'll do that. Todd Michaels is here. He produces Mino and the Mayor every morning here at WGBW and WISS, and he's talking paranormal activity here with us tonight. One of his hobbies, he's a paranormal investigator and always just an absolute blast to talk to. Dave Hansen, the brewmaster at Flick's Brewhouse in Madison, will be here at 7:35 to tell us all about the new Nightlight-inspired beer and his process. That'll be fun. That's all coming up. We got a long way to go, Conrad.
Yes, we do.
You look a little too comfortable over there, buddy. We got a lot of show left. All right, we're coming right back with Todd Michaels. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I wanna cry, cry, cry alone. When you feel that blue, I'm waiting just for you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We appreciate the groundbreaking efforts of Jeanine Geske. She dedicated her career to transforming the criminal justice landscape. Geske taught in prison and collaborated with victims groups. She continued to champion for change as a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court during the 1990s. And in recognition of her impact, she was named the Milwaukee Bar's Lawyer of the Year twice. She also made history in 2002 as the first and still the only woman to serve as Milwaukee County Executive, an interim role worked without pay. Geske's now a professor of law at Marquette University's Restorative Justice Initiative, which she founded in 2005. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Jane Matnair.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said,
I kind of forgot about that song, and I sent that to you today, but there was a teacher at my daughter's school, and that song was on over the PA when the kids were changing classes, and I said, what is this? What is this song to one of the teachers? And he goes, shut up and dance with me. And I said, I really don't think this is the time for that. I just want to know the song. Hi-yo! And he did not really get it and just kind of gave me a weird look.
I would have been the same
yes,
thing.
Sir.
folks, Todd Michaels is here. And our question of the night, I'll share this with you, Todd. My daughter is kind of a smartass. And our question of the night is does it affect Conrad? What's the question? Stupid Google just logged me out.
Does Gene Hackman not leaving any of his $8 million bucks to his kids change your opinion of him?
So here's my daughter on the text line because she's on spring break. She says, literally could not care less.
Was that her? I saw that come across.
Her.
And I thought she was talking about our conversation. And so I was gonna call Kate up and rough her up a little bit. So I'm glad you clarified that.
I will pass that along because she thinks, you know, she plays Taylor Swift one time on the show and she thinks she has carte blanche to criticize.
Yeah.
Todd is here. He is the producer of Mino and the Mayor. Check that show out every morning here at WGBW and WISS. We are talking paranormal investigating because that's one of Todd's hobbies. And we have a phone call, right? Let's get to this
Ollie
phone call.
From the
Maybe Ollie has information for us.
Well, I have a question for your guest there.
Sure.
I have a relative who is very much into paranormal and that kind of stuff. And she always points to the pyramids and the intricate design of the pyramids and how there must be another world out there that helped design that. And I just wonder what your thoughts on that might be.
Boy, that's a great question, Ollie. Todd, I've heard that before, like people saying we didn't have the technology yet or the whatever. What do you say to that?
Again, this is just speculation on my part. And this just goes off of things that I've seen and experienced on my own and in my investigations, whether you're talking about the pyramids in Egypt or whether you're talking about the Aztec pyramids and all that. There's something going on there, right? Can we definitely point to outer space and the universe for that? I don't know that we can do that, but it's a very interesting thing. And again, if we just sit back and go, well, you know, people came together, they planned this, they built these things, and that's it, that's the end of the story, I think we're being really naive. There's got to be more to it. Where will we find the answers to that? I'm not necessarily sure. I think that if Leonard Nimoy had stuck around a little bit longer and his show In Search Of would have gone on for many, many decades, he would have gotten to the bottom of it for us.
That's a great
answer. That's what I think. That was a great show, by the way.
Yeah. Is this the line? Can you get that anywhere?
I don't know. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but that theme song and that show was just, it was crazy creepy, but so informative. I love that show.
Ollie, thank you for the call, and thank you for the question. Todd, before we let you go, do you have a favorite ghost story that you've either investigated or one you'd like to investigate?
Yeah, in fact, it's something that I came across today. Sanitarium Hill in Madison. It used to be home to what was known as Lakeview Sanitarium. And I don't like to investigate those kind of places that often because I think that they're over-investigated and I worry about the energies that are left behind there. But that is one in the Madison area that I would love to get into and do a little research on and just see if there's anything going on there. So,
that,
yes.
That sounds like a really cool place to investigate. Just the title, or a sanitarium or asylum, all those places. There was one in Peshtigo that they've since closed, but it was the Peshtigo Asylum, I think it was called. And it would be fun just to walk around in there, even if you weren't investigating. Like, just, I'd be so curious to see how everybody there lived, you know?
Yeah.
Todd, I have two recommendations for you.
Okay.
Along these lines. One is The Host. It's a Bong Joon-ho film. He did Parasite. He has the new Mickey 17 movie right now in theaters. He made a film called The Host, and it was about hazardous waste dumped in a river in Korea that morphed into this crazy creature. That seems like, I like when I find something semi-realistic, or at least that I could make the leap and think, okay, maybe this could happen. That was good. And then right now on Apple TV is The Gorge with Miles Teller and Hannah Taylor-Joy.
I heard you guys talking about this. You and Conrad talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's streaming good. Yeah. It's good that you can watch in your own, and it would be okay in a theater too. I like those two actors. I like that they're looking over the gorge and not supposed to let anything leave the gorge. And then they kind of explain what's under there and how it happened. So it's kind of like you might see this and say, these are ghosts, but they kind of explain things. It's just interesting. I'd love to get your take on it if you ever get a chance to check it out.
I will check it out. I was very intrigued after hearing you guys talk about it and give your thoughts on it. I don't know, last week or something like that. So,
Awesome. Buddy, thank you so much. Thank you for your big donation in the cure to fight cancer for St. Baldrick's. You look awesome, and you're even more fun to talk to. Thanks so much.
Well, I'll just finish up your review, too, and that's going to be an A-plus for
You see how
Peach
that's done,
Wild.
Conrad?
I better get an A-plus, too.
The kid's got stuff to learn. He's getting there, though. thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Have a great night, guys.
Yeah, you too. That's Todd Michaels. Check out Mino and the Mayor every morning here on WGBW and WISS. And check out the Sandy and Toddcast if you're into paranormal investigating. It's really interesting. And we'll have to see if we can find the name of that show that Todd had on Prime. Because I did watch a couple episodes a long time ago when I first met Todd. And it was pretty interesting, especially Door County. Door County just lends itself to ghost stories, I think, right?
It does.
Have you ever thought your apartment might be haunted?
You know, actually, when I first... I didn't know my door was like kind of on a tilt for my bedroom.
Okay.
And when I have the window open and the wind comes in, it'll blow the door completely shut.
Oh, wow.
And it'll like slam. I was just watching TV in my living room and it happened. And I was like, so scared.
Might not be the wind.
But then I just realized, no, it does it every day if I have my window open. So
it could be the last guy that had the lease before you. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe something happened.
Oh, I don't know.
You might want to.
They have to disclose that, don't they?
If someone died in the apartment?
Yeah.
Yes, but he could have killed many others in the apartment.
Oh, no.
I think he'll be okay. Craig Kinnett checks in on the stream. He says, hey, Pete, I think in the end, Gene Hackman was suffering from Alzheimer's, so I don't know just how cognitive he was about things at the end. That's true, Craig, but the will was done like in 2005 or something like that. He says, I did read that his grandchildren are going to miss him dearly, so I couldn't have been too much of a jerk if the grandchildren are going to miss him. Yeah, all right, that's fair. Thanks, Craig. We're coming right back after the news. Flicks Brewhouse, the brewmaster, Dave Hansen, joins us here on Nightlight. We're coming back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Ceasefire over in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says he ordered overnight airstrikes because talks were going nowhere. The BBC's Rushdie Abu Alouf.
In hospitals, doctors are saying that they have received more than 250 people injured. Some of them are in a very critical condition.
Hamas health officials claim more than 300 were killed. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams finally on their way home after more than 9 months in space. CBS's Derek Waller.
Splashdown is scheduled to happen just off the Florida coast tonight around 6 p.m. Eastern.
President Trump and Vladimir Putin are expected to hold their phone conversation today on ending the war in Ukraine. CBS's Jennifer Jacobs reports.
On Trump's agenda, Ukrainian power plants, control of territory, the death toll of soldiers. Trump said many elements of a final agreement have been agreed to, but much remains.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch. And then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlife with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are tracking a storm system that will bring rain tonight, tomorrow, with rain changing to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of snow with heavier amounts to the northwest. We'll keep an eye on that. Today, mostly cloudy. We'll get to around 55 for a high this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the Northwoods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire to do a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district, since Derek Van Orden appears to be a little shy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the 818, Bridget responds to our question of the night. Do you think less of Gene Hackman for not leaving his children any of his $80 million inheritance, even after he said he was an absentee father? Bridget says, no. I wonder why, but maybe his children knew. I remember thinking it was odd that none of his children called to check in. He was alone for several days. Sad. Yes, indeed, Bridget. Thank you for the text as always. AJ, I'm sorry I just saw this text after we let Todd go. But he will be back on again at some point. AJ wanted to know what was Todd's most real supernatural experience. So that's a great question. And next time we have Todd on, we'll try to catalog that question and have that ready for him. Thank you for listening. We'll get to more of your text in just a bit. Tomorrow night on the show, Christina Laurie, the founder and editor of Up North News, will be here at 6:35. And then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens will be here on Wednesday from the TV show Bosch. Bosch and Bosch Legacy, Scott Clace will be here at 6:35, followed by Madison film critic Rob Thomas. Lots of fun coming up. Mike Toomey will be here making the popcorn pick of the week. Another fun week here at Nightlight. Right now, I'm very excited to introduce a guy I feel like I've known for a long time. I haven't really known him that long. We've been social media friends. But he is the brewmaster at Flick's Brewhouse in Madison and the one charged with making a Nightlight-inspired beer. It was his idea, so he brought this on himself. He joins us now over the phone, Mr. Dave Hansen. Dave, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Pete?
Doing very well. So are you taking a break out of, making and concocting this magical brew you're making that we've inspired?
Well, right now we're just waiting. It's sitting in the tank. You know, you put the dry hops in yourself.
I did.
And so it just needs time to just chill, settle down, you know, let the flavors meld.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, then soon in, you know, about a week, I'm going to transfer it over, you know, so it's completely off any yeast, any hop particles that are left over, and it'll be transferred over. It'll be nice and clean, and then bring it up to carbonation and it'll be ready to go.
You make that sound so easy, but that you probably have to be really patient. Like, I poured the hops in. We took a couple pictures. It was really fun last week at Flick's. How much patience goes into the beer making process? Like, it sounds like there's a lot of steps I don't know that people realize. And I know some people make their own brews at home, but tell us a little bit more about that process from soup to nuts. When you have an idea for a brew, how much work goes into getting it into a glass where people can drink it?
Well, it all depends on what you're going for, but it'll take a good amount of time. It's not an instant thing because you need to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, like for us, we made a pale ale with Wisconsin hops. So we needed to figure out which hops we were going to go with. So we needed the lead time to get those ordered and then make sure all the malt was on hand. And then that can be, you know, a week, can be months, honestly, sometimes, depending on the specific ingredients. But, and then come, you know, the day before brew day, you got to get your water ready. You know, by that time, you have to have any calculations to, you know, add some specific brewing salts or brewing minerals into the water. Make sure you have that exactly right on. And then comes the brew day where you're actually introducing the malt, you know, the wheat, you know, the oats that went in hazed on radio, but, you know, any multitude of those, among others, depending on the beer. And then that, hops, water's at the right temperature. And then, you know, 6 or so hours to do the actual brew until the point where you're, everything's been boiled, everything's been separated, and then you're pumping it into the fermentation tank, cooled down to the right temperature that the yeast love, add in the yeast to it, and then you get to wait.
It's so good. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Dave.
So the next day you get to see some signs of life. You get to see that the yeast is working. So it might be raising the temperature a little bit, but you'll see, you know, bubbling of, you know, the vent stack, it's bubbling in water because during fermentation, the yeast is letting off CO2 while it's making the alcohol. And sometimes it's very active and, you know, bubbling like a straw in a cup kind of thing.
It's so great. It was fun being there and watching you work last week because you're kind of, you, I don't know if this is an accurate comparison, but you kind of reminded me of like Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October. You're walking around all these huge tanks, pulling levers and like just, I can't even like, all right. And so let's get this out of the way. The brew is going to be called Hazed on Radio, a play on words from the Journey song or just an old cliche?
You know, kind of the phrase, but yeah, it's probably known more as the Journey song and album.
Okay, so Hazed on Radio, inspired by Nightlight with Peach Wobble. When you came to me with this idea, Dave, I just thought it was great, and thank you again for that. But how do you, is that your typical process as a brewmaster? Where do you find inspiration to create a new brew, typically?
Sometimes you never know.
Yeah, just you comes know, it, to you.
With Flix, we're in a unique position that we can look forward to things that are coming up on the movie schedule.
Okay.
And tailor it to that. And sometimes it's, you know, an easy thing to figure out to kind of have a pairing with a movie that's upcoming and coming out. Sometimes it's just, you know a lot of people are going to be coming through the door with this movie and I better make sure I have something new and fun.
That's great. How did you end up at Flix? Like you obviously, did you learn to become a brewmaster while you worked there? Or was this something you planned for years ago and you found a nice niche between you and Flix?
It's a matter of finding, they had an availability and I had availability at the time because the brewery I was working for previously had shut its doors. And so I was looking for somewhere. Flix just, rose from the ashes of the pandemic. And they were looking for somebody, and the timing just worked out perfectly.
That's so great. Let me ask you this, Dave, because I think I told you this last week. I don't know a lot about what goes into making of beers, but let's say you've got Hazed on Radio, the Nightlight beer, and then you've got something else. Is there a lot of nuance between beers, or is it basically the same ingredients and you tweak something here and there, or are they totally different sometimes?
Some are completely different. Some are very similar. Like, most of the hazy IPAs I do, they're roughly the same. There's tweaks you can do with different kinds of malts, being whether it's from different origins or different companies producing them. So there's some light tweaks that you do, but if you're trying to stay inside the framework of one style, then you're kind of, hindered by that style you're trying to make.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Go ahead, Dave.
So if you want to compare like making an American Pilsner, to making a hazy IPA, it's very different. You're looking at different temperatures. There's almost nothing other than just Pilsner malt, maybe a little corn or rice if you're going for that kind of classic American lager style, versus with a hazy IPA, you're looking at oats, you're looking at wheat, you're looking at anything in between.
Is one of those that you just described, Pilsner or IPA, healthier?
Not particularly. Okay. You're going to have a beer with lighter body, like a American lager. It's going to be lighter body, lower alcohol, and so it's going to ultimately be fewer calories, but it's not a health elixir by any means.
Okay. Dave Hansen is my guest. He's the brewmaster at Flix Brewhouse in Madison at Easttown Mall. He does a great job there joining us here on Nightlight. Dave is the one who had the idea for a Nightlight-inspired beer. It will be called Hazed on Radio. It should be rolled out. Are you still on schedule for the Wisconsin Film Festival, Dave?
Oh, yep. It'll be right on. So it'll be the beer itself will be ready on the 3rd of April.
Okay, perfect. That's exciting. So if you go to the Wisconsin Film Festival, a lot of the films, Flix is one of the venues, and it's a great film festival. I'll be there doing a lot of Q&As and stuff like that. But stop into Flix, order a Hazed on Radio, and you can show your support for Nightlight and Flix Brewhouse all at the same time. Dave, is in terms of the brews that you've created, what's been your favorite? Like, what would you actually sit back and toss a couple back? Do you have a favorite?
There's a lot. You know, there's a lot that happen that are favorites for like the, you know, the month and a half, 2 months that they're around, and then you move on to something else.
Okay.
You know, one of the first ones I did when I got to Flix was a Czech dark lager. It was rich, but yet it was light and crisp. So that one was definitely one of my favorites.
So when these go away, can you still, like, if you like it a lot, do you save some, or do you just kind of make it at home because you like the taste so much? How does that work?
No, I just kind of file it in the back pocket and bring it back whenever you can.
All right.
And just try and make it again.
So let me ask you this. You've got, and you might have told me this last week, but your beer is your thing. Like, I've got some beers I like. I'm a connoisseur by no means. But a guy like you, if you're in the mood for a beer, what kind of over-the-counter beer does a brewmaster, dare I say an expert like yourself, what do you go for?
I'm a very simple beer drinker at home. So right now in the fridge, I got Miller Lite. I think there's a Guinness tucked away in there still. We've got some Negro Modelo. Ooh. And then there's Indeed Brewing Company's Pistachio Cream Ale.
Interesting.
But other than that, it'll be, you know, go to the store, out at a restaurant, just try something new, try something I haven't had before.
Very nice.
It's rare to drink the same beer twice that's not, you know, Guinness or Miller Lite, really.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So let me ask you this. You just said Modelo. Those commercials are so great. It makes me want to drink a Modelo. Like, that's how effective that advertising is. Do you have a favorite beer commercial?
Honestly, not really.
That was a question kind of out of left field.
Most of the times I am coming across a beer commercial, it's watching football, it's watching the Brewers play, and it's just the same commercials over and over and over. So they tend to get old very quickly.
Well said. AJ checks in on the text line. She's in the 608. Dave, she says, "Hey, Pete, I haven't been to Flix Brewhouse yet, but I would love to try it out." You definitely should, AJ. It's a great place to watch a movie. She says, "But I would also like to try the Thrill Factory. Is that helping? I've only heard about it through the Shark Tank." Does that make sense to you, Dave? Do you know what she's talking about?
Yeah, it's a new, big kind of arcadey, all sorts of fun, trampolines, laser tag.
Oh.
I think there's bowling there too, but it, on the, other side of the mall. It's been there only a couple months.
What better thing to do after you down a 12-pack of beer than to jump on a trampoline? That's what I say.
There you go.
Hey, buddy, this was fun. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know you got young kids at home, and I appreciate you taking the time out. And thank you again for approaching us with this beer. I can't wait to taste it.
Absolutely. It's already starting to come into flavor. I tasted it today.
Oh, really? All right.
It's going to just get better and better.
My mouth is officially watering. Thank you, sir. We will. We'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Dave Hansen. Check out Flix Brewhouse in Easttown Mall in Madison. I've seen two movies there when I've been in Madison, and it's just a great theater. You get some good food, some good beer, and look for Hazed on Radio, Nightlight inspired IPA that is coming out and will be ready by April 3rd for the Wisconsin Film Festival. When we come back, we're going to read your texts and shut this thing down. Please be here to help. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know-Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know-Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know-Nothings get control, it will read, 'All men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics.'" They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
I need to pack all of this stuff into my vehicle. What's the best way to do it? Okay, we're going to play car Tetris. Like, my former sister-in-law was the best.
That's amazing.
I would like to see her and my father go toe-to-toe.
Nice.
Because my dad, man, this is where my dad shines.
Competitive car packing. I love the idea. Get some cameras on that.
Yes. New sport.
It's on ESPN 15.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608, says, "Pour me a Blatz, Cilantro." I don't even know, like, is Blatz considered, it used to be cheap, I know that. And I know it's brewed in Wisconsin. I don't even know if they still make it. But I always assumed, since it was a beer we drank in college, that it was not one of your upper echelon brews.
I've only had it once.
How was it?
I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie.
When I was younger, I couldn't even tell what beer I liked or didn't like. Like, I just couldn't. I didn't have the palate or the tongue or the taste buds, whatever, to really understand nuance. I just wasn't crazy about the taste back then.
In college, the beer that we drank was Natty Lights.
What is that short for?
Natural Lights.
Oh, no. I've heard of that. That's like the cheapest beer you can buy, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Jeez.
But it was cheap.
Natty Light, just that name.
I don't even.
It's awful.
I really don't drink any Busch Light or any of that anymore because of how much I had of it in college.
I remember Jay Cutler used to drink Coors Light.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be like close to water, I guess.
That's the joke about it. Yeah.
Carrie from Tosa says, "Not too surprising about Gene H. not leaving his money to kids since his wife was so much younger. Makes sense to leave it all to her if he was distant from his kids. His kids probably knew his will was that way and likely didn't put forth much effort because of it. Sounds perfectly dysfunctional, like most families, famous or not." Doesn't sound like Carrie's leaving her kids anything. I'm making an assumption, Carrie. Thank you for the text. That's great. Steady Eddie chiming in. He's got shamrocks all over the place. He says, "Top of the evening to you, Leprechaun Schwabba and your lovable producer, Mr. O'Conrad."
I liked it.
"I'm celebrating St. Paddy's Day with a big bowl of Irish fried rice. It's a lot like regular fried rice, but sprinkled with 3-leaf shamrocks." Oh, that sounds tasty, Steady Eddie. He says, "I'm a little disappointed to hear that Gene Hackman did not include his kids in his will. For now, I will reserve judgment on Mr. Hackman's likability and character. He was nevertheless a great actor." That is certainly true. Steady Eddie continues, "The universe is a big place. The number of estimated galaxies is between 200 billion and 2 trillion. with billions of stars in each galaxy. I believe it is more likely intelligent life exists somewhere in the universe. I think we might find primitive life in our own solar system, maybe Mars. But to me, the probability that Earth has been visited by space aliens is remote, though I keep an open mind. As Carl Sagan said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Yes, I agree, Steady Eddie. He says, in these crazy times, the bigger question for me is, will intelligent life ever be found on the planet we call Earth? Steady Eddie, steady O Eddie, shamrock, sunglass emoji. Very well done, Steady Eddie. And a great question. And that's kind of where I'm at. I do believe there's life out there in that kind of expanse. But how would they get here? The 262. This is like an obscene... The 262 from listening on WAUK says, this is how blatant, this is how Blatz is brewed. And he's just got a cartoon of what looks like an alien peeing or Yoda. But the question is, 262, does it get you where you want to go? Does it get you drunk? Because as Krusty the Clown says, open your yaps, boyos. Tomorrow night, Christina Laurie, the founder and editor of Up North News, such a great publication. I love reading Christina's work. She'll be here tomorrow night at 6:35. And then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins us in the second hour. Do we have time to play our...
Did I yak too much? We could play it, but it would have to be fast leading
all right,
to it.
All right. Fast lead. And Conan O'Brien is going to host the Oscars again. He's coming back for another year. And he said it was because he needs to see the end of Adrian Brody's speech, which we've had a lot of fun with here at Nightlight. And here is Adrian Brody's phone call with me that we debuted last week. Hello?
Yeah. Is this Pete Schwabba?
Yeah. Who's calling?
It's Adrian Brody, chief dick. He's been talking about me about my acceptance speech.
How did you get this number?
I could get to anyone. You've seen how broad my shoulders are.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with it?
I know you think you're hot with your little radio show, but people love my speech.
I'm sure they did. I'm surprised you're not still giving it, to be honest.
Yeah, I want an apology, and I want it right now.
Dude, I don't know what you're hoping to accomplish here, but most people thought your speech sucked. It was meandering. It went on forever. I'm sorry, but it was almost as long as The Brutalist, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of people didn't like my speech. You think I don't know that? You know how many phone calls I still have to make? Well, yeah, no one understands me.
Hey, Adrian, come on, man, relax. It's cool. Look, you got two Oscars. Why would you care what anyone thinks about your speech or feel the need to talk for that amount of time and not really say anything? Come on, man.
Oh, you know what? Here I am opening up to you, and you take another shot at me. Have you seen my shoulders?
Yeah, but I mean...
Have you seen my shoulders?
Yeah, man. I saw a lot more of you than that in The Brutalist, which was totally unnecessary, by the way. Look, dude,
Look, it's cool, Schwab. I'll do anything for a role, but yeah, people love my shoulders. Hang on a second. Harvey Weinstein's calling from prison, and make sure I'm treating his ex-wife well. You believe that guy? Ugh.
Yeah.
Hey, no hard feelings, chief.
He does have broad shoulders. You can't argue with that. And he wants you to know that. It's weird that a movie star, a two-time Oscar winner, would be that insecure. But whatever. He found me. He had a lot of calls to make.
Shoulders four times there? Four times.
I'm glad you were counting. I lost count. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Tomorrow night is a Tuesday edition of Nightlight. Typically, one of the best episodes of the week, so you can't miss it. Great guests again. A fun question. More chances for you guys to chime in on text. Love reading your texts. Thank you to Todd Michaels for joining us tonight and Dave Hansen. And thank you for all your texts and calls. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Mini Timaraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue. Possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New airstrikes across Gaza. Israel's surprise bombardment hit targets across the strip, threatening to reignite the 17-month-old war. Reporter Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
The U.S. gave backing to the Israeli airstrike, saying Hamas had chosen the path of war over releasing the remaining 59 hostages living and dead it is still holding. Hamas said the Israeli airstrikes threaten the lives of the remaining hostages. Israel launched the airstrikes throughout Gaza, ending the two-month ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
Hamas health officials claim at least 300 Palestinians were killed. President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin are expected to speak by phone later this morning on winding down the war in Ukraine as the U.S. looks for Moscow's support for a 30-day ceasefire proposal. Stanford University's Stephen Pfeiffer.
My expectations are fairly pessimistic because